Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm very excited about our guest today. I have Mr. Riggs Eckleberry with me, and Riggs doesn't look like a bomb thrower, and yet he's driving the disruption of a trillion-dollar industry that has fallen behind the times and is affecting the health of millions. That industry is big water. Simply, those billion-dollar centralized water systems aren't coping with demand, and water quality is getting worse. Riggs Eckleberry is the founder and CEO of the innovative water technology company Origin Clear, which is delivering water solutions for industrial customers worldwide. It is my pleasure to welcome Riggs to our show today.
Belinda, hi.
Hi. Well, this is going to be an interesting episode, I feel. So this is a big issue. I mean, water is a huge concern for so many people around the world, and I'm anxious to dive into your story and hear about how you're doing this. So why don't we just fill in some of the gaps from your bio and give us a little bit more information kind of about your journey and then exactly how you're doing that today.
First of all, I love water in the sense of, you know, I'm a skier and a sailor, so that's an easy, if there weren't for water, I wouldn't have a lot of fun in life. But of course, I've been all over the world. I was raised as the son of an international executive. So, you know, we lived in Canada, the Caribbean, in France, Belgium. And then in the years after that, I worked in the nonprofit space. I became a ship captain. I ended up in the South Pacific, literally being in the areas where, you know, JFK ran, PT-109 up, that whole area, fascinating part of the world. And so I've had a chance to see the world. After my nonprofit period, I really got excited about technology. Ended up in New York for the 80s, really computerizing, you know, paper-based businesses onto computers for the very first time. And frankly, I knew very little about computers myself. It was more like, well, it's a computer. It should do X, Y, Z. And then learning that they didn't. So that was a whole learning experience. But I was very lucky to end up in the dot-com in the 90s in Los Angeles. Of course, I'm dot-dotting a whole bunch of transitions here to kind of move ahead. But
right.
The dot-com was amazing for me because computers went from being a computing platform to a communications platform, right? And today we take computing as a calculation platform for granted, and we think of it more and more as a way to collaborate and communicate, which I think is correct. That's a correct approach to computers. So learned a lot in technology and high tech, had some wins during the dot-com, sold some companies, the usual. I was very fortunate that I didn't make billions, so therefore I actually retained my humility. But learned that really in technology you can try a lot of things out. And my life, which was if I'd grown up today, I would have been called ADD. But my life, which was very, very diverse, kind of made sense in tech. And it worked. It was disruption and something new. And eventually, I rose up to the number two position in a tech company that ended up on the NASDAQ. And I then had the foolish idea of saying, hey, maybe I could be a CEO. And my doom was that my wish was granted. I spoke to a fund that knew me, and they said, yeah, absolutely, Riggs, you should become a CEO, but we're not doing tech anymore. We're doing green, and we want you to head a company that will be in algae for biofuels. And I said, sounds good. Okay. great. Fortunately, my brother, inventor brother Nicholas, was had some technology, and we that could be used for the algae space. And we launched a company at the time called Origin Oil, because algae became the original oil or petroleum. Petroleum is not dinosaurs. There were not enough dinosaurs in the world, you know, 300 million years ago to make oil, but there was huge amounts of algae that died and became oil. And that's what we have today. And so how do we replace oil? Well, we make more algae in the present. Well, I have to tell you, Belinda, that my company was the darling of the media. I was on CNN. I was on Fox Business. You know, Stuart Varney called me Algae Man. I will call you Algae Man, you know. Mm-hmm. It was exciting. But then the price of oil crashed. It was not the last time either. But the price of oil went from 120 to below 50. And pretty much algae became a science experiment at that point. So we had to do something for our shareholders. And instead of closing or becoming a little boutique cosmetics firm, we decided that we could adapt our technology to the water industry. In other words, harvesting algae as a microscopic particle is not very different from harvesting sewage from water. And so we adapted our cool technology for that. But I learned something about water, which is that it's a massive industry. Everybody thinks it's super important, but it's very hard to change it. It's kind of set in its ways. Mm-hmm. And also people don't really want to know the details about sewage. It's like, no, I'm good. I think water is important. I'm good with the details. So all of a sudden, I found that I was no longer a media darling, that it was hard to get visibility. I was in a very parochial industry. And I really had to figure out, number one is how to get visibility, because CEOs of public companies want to be seen and heard. But also, how can I disrupt this industry? And that has been a passion of mine for some time. In the process, we renamed the company Origin Clear, because clearing up the water. And we also developed a technology stack, our basic technology that I started with my brother. Then we bought a company in Texas that is operating great, wonderful company in near Dallas. Then we acquired a technology for these quickly rapid deployment prefab water systems. And then we got into the funding side of things most recently. And this is where we dovetail with today's world, where at least 80,000 businesses have gone belly up since COVID in the U.S. alone. And these are wonderful entrepreneurs who need a new life, right? I was just reading about the Italian tourist industry has been decimated with something like $60 billion in losses. You know, and if you're operating a sandbar by, you know, by the Lido in Venice, what are you going to do? Well, maybe you should think about a different business, and they are. So a lot of people are reinventing themselves. And we realized, hey, why don't we deploy an army of entrepreneurs to take these brand new small water systems that are the new thing, and kind of deploy an army of people commercializing water systems as a business. And it became what we call Water as a Career, which brings you to the present.
Wow. And now how is that going with these entrepreneurs that are now taking this to the masses? How is that going? Or is that just in its early stages?
Right. So we have a pilot program that involved a very, you know, everything starts for us with these custom jobs that we do in Texas for a client. And then we go, that's an interesting potential product. Let's turn it into something standard. So what this thing originally was our good friend Dwight, who's a customer, came to our company in Texas and said, I want a machine that's going to recirculate all the water in a pool through the machine and purify it without having to drain the pool. Now, most pool owners go, yeah, I just throw chemicals in the pool. But eventually a pool gets too much salt, too many people pee in it, and eventually you have to change out the water. Or his bright idea was wanted to just kind of do a dialysis on the pool, and that way you don't have to flush out the water. Saves a bunch, you know, 25,000 gallons. But also, even more importantly, when a pool is drained, it can crack and that becomes expensive. So he had this bright idea. We built it for him. He deployed it in Phoenix, Arizona. It became a huge success despite everybody telling him he was a fool. And then he said, listen, this is all great, but I'm kind of looking close to retirement. I would like to help you build a business. And so that's what we did. We financed, we basically took the machine off his hands, did a creative deal with him, found somebody who was looking for a new career post-COVID, and put this young man, Ryan, into a business and branded this machine as the Pool Preserver. And almost 1 million people on Facebook have now seen the video of Dwight and Ryan and this Pool Preserver. And it's a fascinating machine, great way to add business, make more money from your pool cleaning business. But Ryan has built a career on this. He's super happy. He wants another machine. And we have a stack of leads of people who want the Pool Preserver. Now, you know, there's a saying, I don't know if you've heard it, but you know, they've invented 50% of the anti-gravity chair. They've invented the chair, right? The other half is the hard part. So what we have is lots of people who want to build a career with this Pool Preserver to start. And we have a bunch of other products that I'm not going to get into right now, but we have a whole lineup of wonderful products, create a career. But the next challenge is, well, now we need to build a bunch of these. And so what I'm busy doing right now is building a kind of a GM financial, an internal funding mechanism to raise capital for these. And in the meantime, we're working with existing pool cleaning companies that, you know, the catch 22 for people in this post-COVID marketplace is that leasing companies require you to have 2 years in business to qualify for a lease. And hey, you just started a new business, so you can't qualify. We can talk to existing pool companies, and frankly, they should be the ones who get first shot because they're already in the space. But meanwhile, we're building the whole Waters of Career Academy, teach people how to do the business. And so we're sitting with this Ryan, say, okay, Ryan, how are you promoting in Phoenix? What are the ads you're putting out? What's working for you? What's your word of mouth? Are you doing flyers, this, that, and the other thing? And we're building the best practices for it. We're also, you know, the technical videos, all that good stuff, while we also ramp up on capital. Now, here's something interesting that we learned on our way to the forum. And that is, remember that old movie back in the day? You're probably too young for that. But there's
on the way to the forum?
Yeah.
No, it's done a lot in theater today, so I'm familiar with it.
Okay, good. Because we learned something in the process of keeping our public company funded, which is we really are good at raising money, and we have an excellent way for people to invest in Origin Clear, which is kind of a bond. You know, it yields as much as 12% per year, and they can turn it into stock, all that wonderful stuff. I'm not here to sell our investing product, but what I'm saying is, we decide, you know what, we're pretty good at this. Let's ramp it up. So that's literally what's happening right now, is I'm working with people to create this whole, you know, seven-figure financing company that we eventually hope will become, like GM Financial, a captive financing arm of Origin Clear, to deploy this army of entrepreneurs in the water industry. I have to tell you, my job has finally become super exciting because, you know, it's very hard to get a municipality to change.
Yes.
Right. Well, it's easier to do an Amway and get a bunch of people to go out and do something. And that's what I'm having fun with right now. It's got the online component. It's got the financing part. It's got the technical part. And of course, every single machine that we deploy, let's say, Belinda, you decide to recreate your career. Oh, you know what? The heck with what I'm doing. I'm going to start doing water. Okay. So Riggs, I need a career. Okay. Well, here's your machine, et cetera. Now, you say, well, Riggs, I don't qualify for all that wonderful stuff. My FICO is in the 500s or worse, and I had a bankruptcy and this, that, and the other thing. So we say, okay, no problem. What we're going to do is we're going to rent you the machine, and it's going to remain our property, just like how people in the poor part of town rent TVs. And before long, they paid for the TV, but they didn't have the $400 for the TV. So what do? They pay $25 a month or whatever it is. And that's what we do with you. And if you stop paying, we're going to take it back. So it's a rental business. What's great about that is you'll make money. Our friend Ryan is, you know, he's paying, you know, let's say $3,000 a month for his machine, but he's booking $16,000 or $17,000 a month. Let's say, I don't know the exact numbers, but it's in that range. Well, he doesn't care. He's paying $3,000 a month. He's making very good money off this machine. So if we make things work for you, Belinda, you'll be willing to pay a premium for this machine. You didn't have to do your, you didn't have to personally guarantee this, that, and the other thing. So what we're hoping here, and it's working, is that we can do a kind of an Airbnb where you'll make a short-term commitment. You can always eventually qualify for a lease and start paying a much lower rate. But in the meantime, you're in business, you're trying it out. And eventually you go, you know what, so water's not for me. And I kind of want to move on. I'm going to go do, you know, envelope stuffing. Fine. Good luck to you. We'll take the machine back, refurbish it, give it to the next person. That is a business model that's incredibly flexible, that is profitable, that over time builds a huge asset, a fleet for us, because public companies want assets. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you want assets. Why? Because major national exchanges, because someday we want to grow up and be on the NASDAQ, want millions of dollars in assets to prove that you're for real. So it all kind of works to create assets, to create revenue, to sell machines out of Texas, to put people in business, helping water. At the end of the day, we're going to improve the quality of the water, because I can't tell you how many people go, Riggs, what do we do about Flint? What do we do about Compton? Mm-hmm. What do we do about South Bend, Indiana? Fort Lauderdale gets these sewers that overflow. And I get the constantly stories in my inbox. And we can't the Flint thing's been going on for 6 years and still it's going on. Why? Because again, municipalities, you can't deal with this as a central problem, right? I suspect, for example, that the fires in the West are not going to be handled as a central solution, but rather community by community, doing things right, you know, abating all that dead brush and so forth. So local actions are what's going to solve these problems, and that's how it happens in water. So it's really, really interesting to me, because people's health is at risk. I mean, $2.6 billion in the world don't have access to safe water. Well, that's a scandal. What the heck? I mean, we hear, oh, we have good water. Well, actually, what's weird is we don't even have great water. Now, If I drink water from the faucet, it won't kill me. I won't get typhoid, but I will get, arsenic or what. I'll get things, industrial pollutants, that over time can harm me. So even in developed countries, the water isn't that great. So we really need to do something about it. And for example, I'm talking about the quality of the water incoming. Well, we literally just made our first sale of a machine to clean all the water going into a hotel, a premium hotel that's being built. We can't say which one it is yet, but it's for 200 and some rooms. And that hotel will now have crystal clear water going not only on the bottles in the bureau, but in the showers, so that your hair doesn't get all bleached out from the bleach, from the chlorine. The water in the kitchen, because it's clean water, all of the pumps and stuff don't get all messed up. So that hotel will have premium water throughout, and it becomes a selling point for that hotel. Well, guess what? That's good for an apartment building. It's good for churches. It's good for any kind of commercial building. And so eventually this will become part of water as a career for us. Will be this not single family dwelling, which is, people do that already, but you know, more multifamily or commercial buildings is a whole different game. We have that technology. We are now in that market. We have our first marquee client. By the new year, we'll be able to publicize it, and that will become a rollout for 2021. And people will be on a mission to then go clean up incoming water in people's apartment buildings and so forth. They will be making a difference. So that's where we're going. You know, I'm projecting a lot happening in the new year. But, you know, the way it stands right now, people are excited about water. They want to find ways to place their money in a way that is more stable than the stock market. So these bonds are very good. And then thirdly, people are looking for new careers. That combination is water as a career.
That's awesome. So that's fascinating. The whole thing of it was completely fascinating. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk about what you've identified kind of as your superpowers, if you will, your skill sets that have really helped you basically sustain success throughout your entire career, even as you've made those shifts. Every one of us have our kind of skill sets that we're great at. And what would you identify as yours?
Belinda, so I had this early career in the computer industry in the 80s was a learning experience because I actually, in my mind at least, I failed, right? I built a business. I was computerizing companies. I had 12 people in Manhattan, which was a payroll that killed me every 2 weeks. You know how it is. But I personally became dispirited. I lost the enthusiasm. I was like, oh, Lord, kill me now. It was just super hard. And I ended up giving the business to my best salesman. Years later, he comes to me during the dot-com and he goes, Riggs, I've built I'm a millionaire. I've built a huge business off of what you set up. And I looked at him. I went, you know what? There's my lesson right there, which is you've got to learn to not be burdened by your failures, by your track record, your experience, right? There's a saying, experience is a great teacher, but she sends in big bills. Well, learn to pay the bill and move on, right? So I realized that I didn't have to actually give up. I could have continued that business to this day, because what I didn't realize was when I first set up a business with computing, that was super painful and lots of work, et cetera. But then that business stays with me for 15, 20 years. And I didn't even realize it at the time. My salesman, Juan, he took it over and he prospered. He told me, Riggs, I still have clients that you got in the 80s, right? So the lesson that I learned there was do not accept failure. You got to wash it out. You got to go through you can't deny failure. Mm-hmm. Let's say here I am. I'm trying to succeed. Things aren't working. First of all, do not accept failure, because failure is simply when you just stop trying. So reinvent yourself, do something, do whatever you got to do. Now that you've moved on, and maybe you had to go bankrupt, but you know, most of the time you don't have to. Most of the time you can reinvent, you can find a way. Now, how do you get back into the present so that you are fresh? You have that knowledge, but you don't have the PTSD.
Right.
That's what I learned over time, because, you know, being the CEO of a small public company is sometimes I go, my wife looks at me and went through, you know, last couple of years have been very, very interesting as we have figured out, you know, how do we change conditions in the water industry? And she watched me and she said, Riggs, I've been stressed right along with you. And at that point, I looked at her and said, you know what? I am so thankful for you, because I didn't even realize how stressed she was looking at me. But what I've gotten out of it was I can be in the present. I could go, you know what? This thing happened, learning experience. It's not me that was bad. It's just that I needed to learn a couple things, right? There's a French term that we use in English called the esprit d'escalier, the spirit of the stairs. It's when you go up the stairs and you think after the, you know, dinner or whatever, you go, oh, I should have said so-and-so to that guy, right? Mm-hmm. The woulda, coulda, shoulda. Well, you have to get to a place, and it's individual for each one of us. I can't prescribe it, but which is like, yeah, I could have been smarter in that argument, but you know what? I'll just figure it out for the next time, right? Not writhing inside like, oh Lord, I could have done better, or I should have been with that girl, or you know, I should have jumped on that opportunity, or when my buddy wanted me to help him start WebEx, I should have done it and I'd be a billionaire today, blah, blah, blah. No, it wasn't you. You know, at any time, you were always doing your very, very best. Always. Of what you know at the time. Mm-hmm. So then take that, then you learn, and now you're better, and you're a fresh bundle of knowledge, experience, capabilities. So the ability to stay in the present and not be burdened by your past pictures and experiences is the biggest challenge, I believe. And I'm grateful that I got there. You know, it's been a lot of study. I'm not going to say I did it by myself, but, you know, there are places you can get that information and, coaches and gurus. But all I'm saying is that is something that one can achieve. One can achieve that even though I'm 68 and I'm, I'm fresh and new and thinking in the present. That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's exciting. There was a lot of really great gold nuggets in there, but I think the biggest one of those is, you know, people look at individuals and think they're an overnight success, and every overnight success was years in the making. And that's the thing that I keep trying to get across to my audience right now is that, you know, even when people look at it, suddenly a band, you know, that has this big hit and it looks like they're an overnight success. It's like they've been playing in dive bars and making next to nothing for the last 10 years. You can find that story almost anywhere. And yet everybody seemed to think they came out of nowhere. And, there is no overnight success. It was years in the making. So I think that's a good lesson there. And I think that we've all had failures, and I think looking at it as not a failure, but like you said, a learning experience. I loved some of the things that you quoted on that learning experience. And because sometimes it is costly, but you can't look at it like, wow, I lost that money. I've had a couple of things that I've invested in or thought that was a great idea, and it wasn't. And we lost a lot of money, but I also learned. And I took that learning experience to the next thing that I did and didn't make the same mistake. And had this incredible success with it. So I think that it's important that we take those learning experiences for exactly what they are and just don't hang on to them, you know, as far as hanging on to them as in I failed or I wish I would have done this different. And I love your living in the present, because I think at the end of the day, especially with everything that we're going through right now, I think more people need to stay living in this present, like of what is good right now. What are they grateful for right now? Because we can get real worried about where everything is still going and get our focus on that. So that's what I've really been encouraging. So you brought home a lot of really great points there. So this is kind of our signature question of the show, and we'll ask that, and then I'll ask you kind of your last closing words of advice to other entrepreneurs, but what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, well, you know, I think that, I think I've had many, many things. So, you know, when I was very young, I was like, I want to be a filmmaker. And then I actually got my wish. I worked for a year in film in Los Angeles. And I learned really that, there's better filmmakers than me. I just say it right out loud. And then, you know, I read books and I go, oh my gosh, that writer is better than I ever could be. It's really discovering what I'm good at. And it doesn't matter that I'm going to be a famous filmmaker or writer. It's, you know, what can I do the most good with? And it turns out that I can invent futures that involve not a script or a book, but a reality, an actual thing that I can put it up and make it happen. Not consciously inspire people like I'm going to inspire people. No, in the process of inventing it, I'm sharing it. I have a CEO briefing that I do every Thursday night at 5 PM Pacific, people can sign up on OriginClear.com. It'll be this Thursday, but our 79th briefing. So I've been doing it for a year and a half or more. And what it's turned into is a chance to share. What am I learning? What's going on? What's happening? And we're the most transparent public company everybody's ever run into. It's really weird, Belinda, when somebody with a caller ID, SEC enforcement shows up on your Zoom call, like, ooh, Lord, but they've never, you know, because I'm so transparent, that's kind of, you only get in trouble with the SEC when you're trying to hide stuff, right? So mm-hmm. we're very transparent. We say what it is. We don't misrepresent stuff. But what we do is I share, here's what's happening. We got, let's talk to Ryan Kustra, the guy with the pool preserver, and what's happening in Texas, what's the word? And we got a new development in Mexico. That people are able to witness kind of this process of invention of something interesting, this company that we're building. And that is, I think, my happy place is to share that creative process of creating something real. It turns out that I like doing that more than I like writing scripts, which I've tried, and I've written the bad script. So now I know what I'm good for.
There you go. So does the pool preserver work for hot tubs as well, spas?
Unquestionably. The thing about it, though, is that your return on investment would not be great. Reason is there's not that much water in a spa. You can just throw out the water and put new water in.
Secondly, if you have horrible water.
Right. That's a very good point.
We have to get ours like every 3 months, and it's like $400 every single time we get more water.
Wow.
Seriously, because our water is so iron-filled that it would, and I've got softeners on it, but of course that's the water from outside. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious, as I was sitting here thinking about that expense, like, and we can make it go to 4 months and stretch that out, but that's still three times a year. I just was curious.
Right. The product that I think is going to work for this kind of environment is a static device. In other words, the same machine that we have going around on a trailer doing it for pools, it sits there for 8 hours and mm-hmm. it recycles all your water. Well, we also can build a little unit that will be stationed at your pool or hot tub and will continuously do reverse osmosis.
Yep.
Just like that under sink water system you might have in your home, it does it for your pool or hot tub. That is a very interesting product that we absolutely know how to do. It's a roadmap. Everything's a roadmap. Yep. One of the small lessons, but important ones that I've learned is string things up. Don't try and do everything all at once. So mm-hmm. you know what? That's going to be 18 months, 24 months, so that you can relax and not have to do it all in the present. But that you're absolutely right. We can do things for water that really is the way water should be. Water should be the way it was when all the algae in the world died and became petroleum and and sucked up all the CO2 so that we had a lot of good oxygen. Mm-hmm. A process we're now reversing, of course, by digging it all up and burning it. I'm not going to get into that story. But there was clean oxygen then. The oceans of the world became clean. The whole rain process created crystalline water, and there was no industrial pollution, obviously. That water can be achieved today, and that's really the ambition of Origin Clear, is to make that available, not at some huge central billion-dollar water treatment plant, which we know doesn't really work that well, because how much can they do, is to put it in place at homes, pools, apartment buildings, hotels, et cetera. And I think it's a gas, frankly.
Yeah, it's exciting. So in closing, let our listeners know where they can find you. Like, where might they tap into that CEO Thursday nights? That sounds interesting. But where can they find you?
So obviously on Facebook, Origin Clear page. If they go to OriginClear.com, we'd love to, right away, they'll be presented with a choice to sign up for the CEO briefing, which we'd love to have happen. Also, you know, they'll end up on a newsletter. And when they get an update from me, it's not one of those no reply things. If they hit reply, it goes into my inbox. And even though it's going out to 24,000 people, I do try and respond. So you'll be able to interact with me. I love to hear from people. You know, our stock ticker is OCLN. Not that I'm pushing the stock, but Origin Clear really is to my mind a mission. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. Come to the website. Join us on Zoom. You know, we're trying to make a community out of the people who really care about water.
Very good. Well, Riggs, thank you so much for your wisdom and tenacity and for doing something that really matters to our society as a whole. So thank you so much. And thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Belinda. And good luck to you with your podcast.
All right. Thanks so much. And to all of our listeners, remember to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And please rate the show. It's great for both Riggs and myself. We appreciate you so much. Again, till the next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.